Okay, are we rolling?
We are rolling.
So we should probably start talking. Hello.
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 Welcome.
Good to be here.
Welcome, Mama.
Thank you so much.
Glad you could make it.
Me too.
Yeah, so we have my mama in the house. Wah, wah.
It's been an exciting week for everyone, I think.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. She's here on vacation doing fun things to popular music.
That's true. We haven't done... Have we done any fun things to popular music? I don't think we have.
Was there any popular music on the boat? The old-timey...
On the paddle boat?
Paddle boat.
I don't even remember music.
I don't think so, but the jam session was awesome.
Oh, that's right. We had a jam session.
That was the opening night.
That's right. Opening night with Mama. Yeah, that was cool. Friends come out, play a little music. I don't know if we played any popular music, though. I think it was all...
Maybe popular in the 20s.
Old-timey, yeah. We had old-timey music.
It was great.
It was cool. I'm so glad you were here for that. That was super cool. So, yeah. So, it's been a good week, and you leave tomorrow.
I know. Wah, 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 wah. The time went so fast.
It really does. It goes by fast. I know. In the beginning, it's like, how am I going to make it 10 days?
And now I will be going back to the cold country. Get my long johns on.
Yeah. So what's the temperature there?
I believe today it was in the 40s.
Okay. Well, it's not so bad.
Could be worse.
But that's cold. It snowed there last week, right?
Yeah. So definitely need a sweater.
Definitely sweater weather and gloves. You'll need your gloves. I'm just saying that because, like, when I go into the cold now, I will always have a pair of gloves.
Good idea.
After my mountain expedition at Langley with no gloves. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, do you have any big plans when you get home?
Well, pay a few bills. That's always fun.
That's super exciting.
Actually, I just have a lot of tasks to do after being gone for a while.
Right. You've been gone for almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for taking time away. It's been awesome.
Thank you for letting me, you know, be in your home and take up space. And
I figured a retired lady of leisure like yourself wouldn't have much of anything to do. You just spend your days going to thrift stores and...
I do that.
Right? Yeah, you're the yard sale lady.
It's so much fun.
You're amazing. You can find anything at a yard sale. I remember many years ago, it was probably like maybe 10 years ago when Danielle was here with you. We were getting ready to go to Disneyland and you said, okay, I want to go to some yard sales tomorrow and I'm going to find some Disney paraphernalia. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Like you're just going to find Disney paraphernalia?
When you say it like that, I mean paraphernalia.
Okay, so I made, that's my word, paraphernalia. She wanted to find Disney stuff, you know, like.
Right. Souvenirs.
Souvenirs. I think you actually said souvenirs. I said paraphernalia. Apparently, I associate Disney with drugs, but anyway, not the point. So, yeah, we went to a yard sale, and the very first one, you found some Mickey ears. You found all kinds of random Disney souvenirs, which you brought with us to Disneyland.
I know.
Then when the kids were like, I want this $40 pair of ears, you were like, well, we're just going to have to wait a little bit. And then a little bit later, we're eating lunch and you like brought out the ears and you're like, here you go. And the kids are like, yay. And they get to wear ears too, but it costs you 5 cents as opposed to $45 or whatever it
is. I seem to remember Ella called them what? The souvenirs?
That's right.
Oh, that's cute.
It was super cute. No tax. T-A-C-K-S. Yeah. I still have it. It's this cute little piece of paper.
Oh.
Souvenirs.
Thanks for the souvenirs.
That is so adorable.
She was little. Yeah. She's cute. And then she wanted a... she was ordering... You were barbecuing, Chad, and she wanted something from the barbecue. And I think she said like one hot dog. There's something cute about it. I don't remember. But it was cute. She was just little.
Oh, yeah. Because we were... she was like handing pieces of paper with people's orders.
Oh, so she was going around taking everyone's orders. Okay.
I'm the line cook and she's
one hot dog. And she was handing them in to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was little. She must have been like 9 or something. God, I can't believe they're adults now. It's crazy.
It is.
Oh, yeah. They're at the age where they're going to make their own mistakes and screw a lot of things up, but
yep,
they'll get a lot of things right, too.
But that's part of life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all screwed stuff up.
That's how we seriously learn.
It is how we learn. Hopefully, we don't screw up so much that we...
That's how adults learn.
Have to crawl out of a big hole, right?
God, Jesus, it's painful.
Some of us are still learning.
This learning is like
today.
Excruciating.
I know, I'm done learning. I just want to like coast along. Isn't that what retirement is? You're done learning? You just enjoy life? No?
I love to
learn. No, it never ends.
I love to learn.
Well, okay, but then you're learning on your own terms.
And learning what you want to learn instead of the hard lessons of life.
Exactly.
Yes. Presumably.
Yeah. Instead of being knocked in the head, you're like, I'm going to learn Spanish today.
Yeah.
Much different.
¿Quién es más macho? Ricardo Montalbán?
Oh.
Lorenzo Lamas.
I'm going to say Lorenzo Lamas. Don't you think he's more macho?
I don't know. I'm kind of a Ricardo Montalbán guy.
Really? Huh. You know, we should probably pull up some photographs and let our listener decide. We'll put it on the podcast website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know that photo of Khan is going to be the first thing I put up, right?
Khan?
Yeah. It was Ricardo Montalbán.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you might be right about the Mas Macho thing. Oh. Pardon me.
As opposed to, what was it? The Renegade or...
That was Lorenzo Lamas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ricardo Montalbán. I didn't know. He was Khan? Khan! What was that from?
The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, that. Okay, well, anyway.
Yeah, sorry to hijack that conversation.
I'm just thinking of that movie where that guy said, my name is... So-and-so, you killed my father.
Oh, the Princess Bride.
Yeah.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
That's
you
right.
Killed my father. Now prepare to die.
That's right.
That is one of my favorite movies. It's a good movie.
That was excellent.
Yeah. I wonder if the kids have seen that. We should introduce them.
I'd like to see it like in this, you know, past.
Now?
Yeah. And see
what
I think.
Yeah, do we like it as much as we did then?
Yeah. Because it is kind of, what are we on, like the 30-year anniversary of it?
It's classic.
Maybe. Oh my God, really? No.
I don't know.
Is it the
80s? I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
I think it'll always be good to watch.
I think you're right.
It's one of those.
Total classics. It's really good. Chad's going to look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
And we'll put the link on the podcast website. Bum, bum. So, Mom, we've invited you here today to talk about, you know, the past. Tell us a little bit about your, you know, your wildling years.
Oh, those were fun. Well, you know, where we used to live in that small town in Idaho.
Where was that?
Well, you want me to name it?
Yeah, I do.
Priest River, Idaho.
They still have dirt roads in that town.
The Wild and Woolly West.
It kind of was, yeah.
You could drive around with beer drinking it, and no one cared.
That's true.
And when those people partied, it was serious. I remember dancing, you know, almost all night long.
You were quite the dancer, you and Dad both.
Yeah. It was fun.
Kick up your heels big time. Even when we lived in Priest River, though?
Yes.
Well, I guess that's how... So, okay, how did you meet Dad? Tell me.
Met him at a coffee shop.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
And we went to a party, and then we started going out.
Why did you go to a party?
Because it sounded like fun.
Whose party was it?
It was a guy who was in a band.
Oh.
That played in Priest River.
So musicians.
Yeah, his name was Bobby. He was a friend of mine. I don't think Dad knew him.
So you invited Dad to the party?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all coming back to me now. Dad was so dark and mysterious with this big black cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm. And the handlebar mustache?
Oh, yes. Wore jewelry. A lot of turquoise.
Mm-hmm. Button down.
He was intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah, he How'd was a that character. Work out? He was a cowboy.
Well, it worked out for about 7 years. For 3 years, not quite so well.
Yeah.
So I decided, well, I guess I'll leave. Better than murder. I am not joking.
Well, but you did consider murdering him.
Well, yeah. But I times. Just figured...
Everyone did.
If he didn't die, I was really going to get it.
Right. So it wasn't... It's like, he has to really die. So do you want to talk about those, or would you rather talk about something else?
I don't know. There's not much to tell. I figured I'd go find some mushrooms, maybe feed him some poison mushrooms. And then I thought, you know, that's not really logical. It makes more sense just to split up.
Right.
And he might not die, and then I'm going to get it.
If you could put it together.
Yeah, if I knew which ones to get. I had a few difficulties with the whole plan.
And you're like, these might be perfectly good mushrooms. And yes. I'm just giving him a delicious breakfast.
That's instead, right.
His coffee has an unexpected bit of umami.
Yeah.
Instead of
known as rat poison. Yeah.
Oh, I should not be admitting this stuff.
Right? This is what happens. When you get on the podcast, like, things happen. You tell the truth. Okay, so we lived in a one-room log cabin with no running water or electricity, but it was kind of awesome. It was really beautiful out in the middle of nowhere with the tall lodgepole pines.
It was a good experience to live.
Yeah, off the grid.
Yeah.
And Dad built that cabin, so it wasn't like we were, you know, we rented some random off-the-grid cabin. Like, it was straight up pioneer days. In fact, he... bought that property, what was it, like $3.25 an acre or something?
I have no idea.
I saw an ad in a paper that it didn't, if you could improve upon the land, you could homestead. It was a homestead.
Oh my goodness.
Plot, yeah.
Such a beautiful piece of property.
I know, it really was. Pretty close to water.
Yeah, the well was 12 feet deep.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So I was there, not last year, but the year before. So about not quite 2 years ago, I took Dad out there right before he died.
Oh.
To see the property. And of course, it had changed significantly. I mean, they'd built on, they'd done quite a bit.
They probably blacktopped the driveway.
They did not.
Oh.
No, it's still pretty rustic. I took Lily with me and they invited us in and it was totally different inside. But then as soon as we went out into the back porch, which there wasn't a back porch when we lived there.
Right.
It had the same well in the same place. And she said, this well is incredible. She said, it's not very deep, but it has the best water I've ever had. And it never runs dry.
It was amazing. You just don't see that.
No.
People have to drill 300, 400 feet, and then they don't have enough water.
And he didn't he... dig it with a shovel?
Not did he that use I know dynamite?
Of. Perhaps a dangerous and unreliable power auger.
I don't know.
I think he used some dynamite and shovels, but I know Scott was part of, he remembers digging the well. But then the outhouse.
Oh, I love the outhouse.
It was, what?
What?
How did you love the outhouse?
How does anyone love an outhouse?
I really did.
Why?
In winter? Not
as much in the winter, but we had a chamber pot for the night.
Yeah. Known as a Folgers can.
That's exactly right.
Well, the outhouse.
Look at Ron over there all fancy with the chamber pot.
My ass.
But it was really lovely to go out there at night and watch the stars.
Mm. Well, it's still there.
And it wasn't a long walk. It was pretty
It was
short.
Pretty close. But for me, when I was a little kid, it seemed like it was so far away. I felt like I was running through the shadows and it was scary.
Oh.
But that's why you had the Folgers can, so I didn't have to go out there at night.
And was it really a Folgers can?
Yeah.
I think so.
It
wasn't like U-Ban or...
No, Mom drank Folgers. It was straight up a Folgers can. We used Folgers cans for a lot. You used to... bake bread in Folgers cans.
But not the same can.
Thank you for clarifying that. That is true. It was a totally different can.
My grandparents always used them for pennies.
Oh, yeah.
So they would have Folgers cans full of pennies, and we kids would play whatever, like, because we were gambling at a young age.
You
with
were.
With the grandparents' pennies, you know, playing whatever card game, whatever.
Were the grandparents cribbage involved?
Or, yeah, usually.
Okay.
Sometimes
gambling
not,
children. That's cool.
But yeah, we were all gambling with grandpa and grandma's money. So
that's funny. Did you get to keep it?
Yeah, but what am I going to do with a fistload of pennies?
Well, I don't know. Penny candies?
Buy a couple.
Nickel candies couple when
things
we were kids.
Of gum.
Right. That's cool. Yeah, Folgers cans. I wonder, like, if we were to put out some sort of a, I don't know, a survey about, you know, what kind of things have you done or experiences have you had with the Folgers can? Because I think they're a big part of, you know, from our childhood, like they were a big deal. They were always around. Everyone drank coffee and they're such sturdy cans.
Well, have you noted that cans pretty much now have a foil pullback top?
Yeah.
And you don't need a can opener.
Right.
That's a shame.
Why is that a shame?
Because I think things keep better when they're sealed like that instead of with foil. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're right about that. Oh, I thought you meant like the tin, like the pop top with its tin, but you're talking actual foil.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I agree. It's not going to last. Well, being the prepper that you are, you would think about those things.
Absolutely.
I mean, what are we talking about? Are we looking at like a 10-year timeline, or are we thinking like a 20-year timeline on freshness of Folgers in a can?
I think if it has a lid on it, you know, that's metal, that you have to use a can opener, I would say easy 10 years. But I think with the foil, maybe 5.
You think that long?
But I do know coffee really does keep a long time.
Mm.
If it's in a dark cupboard.
So let's, do you mind if we talk about, maybe we share with our listeners some of the prepper advice?
Great
that you can
idea.
Give. So like some of your top 10 things you should do to prep for any kind of a disaster.
Water is the first one.
Number one.
You have to have water.
Mm-hmm. How much? What's the best way to store water too?
Well, that depends on what your situation is. You can get a very large barrel, but then you can't move it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a pump. You can pump it.
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer 3-gallon jugs because I can lift them. Because I actually refresh the water, dump it, and put more in about every year and a half.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to have a month. If you can have more, that's better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wondering, like, what does an average person need for 1 month to survive if they have no source of water? Like, how much water should they have around?
1 gallon a day per person minimum.
Really?
You can get by on less if you just drink, quit washing dishes.
So we're talking
cleaning yourself.
Everything, making food, cleaning your dishes, brushing your teeth, that kind of thing.
Ooh. Okay, I haven't lived without water and I had to use it.
Yeah.
So
maybe not.
We used to, though, but I just didn't pay attention as to how much.
When did we do that?
We've hauled water. When we lived in the farm, we hauled water because...
We ran out of water.
Yeah, and the river water was making us sick.
So tell me about that experience, because I don't really remember. I remember that we were bringing water up from the river, and I remember the crazy guy who dug the well with the dynamite.
Yeah.
But like, talk about, and I remember not being able to take a bath with more than like a couple inches of water. But tell me more about what happened.
Well, I had to run down to the, while I was getting the water, I had to run up and down the steps to the river.
And these are really steep steps too, just for the
record. Yeah, I lost about 15 pounds in the
just
first 2
up.
Weeks.
Oh, God.
Would you say it was water weight?
Yes, I would. That's good.
But so did our well just run out?
You know, I'm trying to remember.
Or did we just not have
I'm not sure.
A well or was that before with? The well?
It was
no, because there was
the well.
A well. There was a well that was already there.
Maybe it was just defunct.
Yeah.
But
we wouldn't have moved into a house that didn't have any water.
Oh, I don't know.
That's a good point. We lived in a house that didn't have water before that. All right, you're true. That's true.
But anyway, Julie got really sick drinking the river water.
And she was little. She was like 2, I think.
So we hauled water until we got the well.
Where'd we haul it from town?
Yeah.
So would we just go in and fill buckets and stuff?
We had jugs, like any empty jug.
Wow.
But I think a gallon a day is pretty much standard. You can subsist with a gallon a day for, because you don't need that much just for drinking.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the survival dehydrated food, you need plenty of water to dehydrate it.
Right, exactly.
So it's always good to have a variety of canned goods,
various
dehydrated
things.
Goods.
Right.
And just everything you would normally have. Corn flakes, Captain Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep life interesting.
Right. Yeah. So what are you prepping for?
Well, it could be anything. It could be a pandemic. There could be something that breaks out and you don't care to leave your home and go get exposed for 4 to 6 weeks.
I just don't care to leave my home in general.
Yeah, that's me true. Too. No, I like to get out, but I mean, would certainly be willing to stay in if there was the Black Plague going around.
Right, right.
And it's probably not going to happen. But it's always wise to be prepared. You could be unemployed and need the food. I have seen many instances, even close to where I live, where the water all of a sudden is contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've all heard about that.
Yeah, you had lead in your water.
Yes, some of the water.
Right.
For the older homes that had the lead pipes. But there was other ones. Other situations where they were told, do not drink the water.
Mm-hmm.
So, like at all, or don't drink it unless you boil it, sort of thing?
Don't drink it, as far as I know. Since I didn't live there, I'm not exactly sure. But
where was that?
Airway Heights.
Really?
They were on no drink.
Really? I mean, there's a damn military base right there.
Yeah.
Huh.
There's something else bad
is
there.
Is that where
yeah, right?
Is that where the pollution's coming from?
Maybe.
So that happens fairly frequently. If you lose your job, if you have things stored back, toilet paper. And
right. Yep.
It's a good thing. It's like an insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to use it anyway.
Right.
You have to be careful. I've wasted a little bit of food as I learned.
Mm-hmm.
You want to buy stuff you actually use as much as possible.
Right.
So, and I don't like to store beans because if you're in an emergency situation, maybe you won't have fuel to cook the beans for 8 straight hours.
Oh, so you're talking about dried beans.
Yeah.
Well, you can soak them for, you know, instead of cooking them, like if you soak them for 24 hours or whatever, but then you need water. So.
And you still have to boil them a while.
You still have to boil them. To cook them,
but dehydrated beans,
mm-hmm.
Those are good. Refried beans that have been dehydrated.
Do you rehydrate beans?
Yeah. I love that stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's
yeah, cool. You just take a cup of boiling water,
mm-hmm.
Put a half a cup of refried dehydrated beans in, instant refried beans.
But you don't dehydrate the beans. That's what I was asking.
No.
You buy them dehydrated.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wonder what it would take to dehydrate beans.
Well, beans.
And a dehydrator.
And a dehydrator. Exactly right.
So when
well,
I
no,
used
you
to
have to you have to cook the beans first.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And then you drain them and then presumably dehydrate them.
I believe like you have to mash mess. Them as too as well.
But, yeah.
Because if they're whole, they're just the ones I have that are dehydrated are broken up.
Right. It seems like a lot of work. I know. This doesn't seem worth it.
If you have money, just buy it.
I used to love to bring dehydrated beans on the trail. It was one of my favorite things.
You know one of my favorite things?
No.
You had some tins of potatoes that were like buttered potatoes.
Oh my God, they were so good.
1 gallon paint tin.
Do you remember those?
I do.
They were so good.
They were so good. We loved them.
You know,
we just ate them.
Ate
you know,
them.
in general, everyday life.
But we were living in the Chinook at the time.
Well, yeah.
But I went last month to the same place to buy that food.
And
they're discontinuing those.
Mm.
Wow.
It's because
why,
they have butter. They do not have a long shelf life.
Oh.
They have a year shelf life,
which isn't very long. But we were happy to eat them. We love.
They are good.
They're really good. So can you dehydrate butter?
Yes. I have really? Butter powder.
Really?
I have a number 10 can full of butter powder.
So just add that to the potatoes. But does that last more than a year?
I think it has like a 7 to 10 year shelf life.
Well, it's not bad.
And I'm actually running out of time. I better start using that.
Number 10 can
Why
of butter.
Why are you running out of time? Like because it's almost, it's going to be.
My time. Yeah, I bought it a long time
that's
ago.
That's a bit of butter.
It's a bit of butter. A bit of dehydrated butter.
I have powdered cheese.
And dehydrated water. Just add water.
Yeah. So, Mommy said that you started eating, you've been using your stores to try and like use your stores. So how's that been?
It's all right, but it's not the healthiest food.
Right. That's the thing, right?
Yeah. But I've been focusing on other things. Like I've been buying granola and Cheerios, but it's only like a year. You can keep it on the shelf, but it's stuff I will use.
I wonder if they were to take Cheerios and put them in those cans, you know, sealed tin cans, that could last 10 years easy.
You know, I don't know. Cereal has a pretty short shelf life.
I mean, we have a thing of cornflakes on the fridge that have been there for like a year that's really? That are open and they're fabulous. So, I mean, if it was sealed, you'd think it would last
cornflakes,
10 years.
Cornflakes, huh?
Yeah.
You get that, listener? Cornflakes, get some.
That's right.
Have plenty of cornflakes.
If our listener wasn't a prepper before, they are now.
Chad and I are really into powdered milk, actually.
Oh,
I wouldn't say we're into it, but
no,
we have a
really
couple recipes that...
In
that,
cookies.
Yeah.
Well, you use it a lot because we don't really drink dairy at all. So if occasionally we come across a recipe that calls for milk, we'll just take some powdered milk and whip up some milk. You know, mac and cheese, that kind of thing.
That's right. A good idea.
And that way we're not always buying milk because we just literally don't drink it. We don't use it in most anything.
You know, I had a cookbook that was from the Depression.
I got that for you.
That little brown book?
Yeah.
Well, this is a different one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it was very, very old. And it had a recipe that if you didn't have an egg, it said, you can go ahead and use a tablespoon of snow.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
Just to, as a...
A placeholder, apparently.
Or something to make it a little thicker.
Yeah.
How the hell would snow work? I mean, it's just frozen water.
I know.
I mean, you could just use half a tablespoon of water.
It was during the Depression.
But maybe because it was kind of colder, it did thicken a bit. You know, it was a thickening agent until it melted, of course.
Yeah, kind of weird.
Maybe it's just to make you feel better.
Like, look at me. I'm using things in my environment.
That book that you got me, I really like. I was reading the recipes out of it because I thought, man, I'm going to try some of these. But actually, they're pretty grim.
It was a Depression-era cookbook. I was saying, can you give us an example?
And back then, they were rather positive, I'm guessing.
Yeah. I mean, when you're hungry, right?
Right. It's all relative.
Well, they used a lot. What was it? They used a lot of, like, oats. And they made meatloaves and stuff with like
with oats,
bullion cubes and oats and
gross.
It just didn't sound good.
You're like, I'm not even going to try that. So do you have lots of bouillon in your?
I really don't. In fact, it's on my list.
Hmm.
The next stuff I plan to buy, I need to buy more oats, more bouillon and corned beef hash.
Hmm.
And
does anyone really need to buy corned beef hash?
You know, I love that stuff. It's so bad for you.
Oh, so does Jennifer.
I have a story.
She loves that stuff.
It's good.
I have a really good story. So I do. I love corned beef hash. And I attribute that to my mama. And when we were little, this was before Julie was born. Or maybe she was like a baby. Because we were still living in the Gray House in Cusick. And Lily asked, what's for dinner or lunch or whatever? And you said dog food.
That's right.
And apparently we had a dog. We must have had Curly at that time.
We must have.
Because Curly was on the farm, and I know Dad had Curly in the cabin, too. So you must have had fed Curly the dog food, and we were having corned beef hash. And you put it in front of Lily, and it was just corned beef hash. And she's looking at it like, what the? And she didn't believe you. And you brought out the dog food can, and you said, see? And it looked exactly the same. You must have been making us dinner and giving the dog dinner at the same time and thought, my God, they look exactly the same.
So that's what gave me the idea.
And yeah. For just a split second, she was like, what? And then you laughed and you showed her, I'm just kidding. But anyway, it was really funny.
Yeah.
We were eating dog food for dinner. Corned beef hash isn't a far cry.
I was going to say, that's saltier. Not, yeah.
I have to say, I haven't one tried of my dog food,
but
I haven't either.
I don't think dog food has as good a flavor.
I'm going to guess it's not very good. They don't put seasonings in dog food. That's the only reason human food is so good is it has seasonings.
And by seasonings, you mean salt.
I do mean salt. Salt's changed the world for the better.
I'm also going to get a bunch of coffee from Costco and a whole bunch of creamer. You know,
you're going to have a lot of creamer.
I have three at home of the tall ones. And I'm going to get four more in the next week.
How long would those last you?
You need to be stopped.
Yes, I do.
But you can use them. So it's not like they're going to go to waste. You can also
use them to make milk for a recipe.
Gross.
Or potato soup.
But it's kind of sweet milk, I would guess. No?
It's a little sweet, but...
Not really.
I mean, the main ingredient is corn syrup.
But when I drink my coffee with that creamer, it doesn't taste sweet.
It's just, what does it taste like?
Like cream.
Oh, it's just like a creamy, creamy cream?
Yeah.
Yeah, but cream is sweet.
Creamy, creamy.
Cream is sweet.
True.
I have to say, when I was a kid, I hated milk, I hated cream, but I loved butter. I loved butter on homemade bread, specifically.
Right.
And a couple of years ago, we were at the farmer's market, and there was a farmer there who was selling fresh cream. Like, he'd made it. He'd fresh, separated
raw
it.
Cream, not pasteurized.
He'd separated it that day, and I was like, oh, my God. It was so delicious. It was crazy good. And then I went back to buy some. It was pretty expensive, but not... You know, out of control.
It was like $7 or $8 for a tiny little, like, half pint thing. It was really expensive.
Or a pint. I think it was a pint. Either way, I was going to go back and get some, and he wasn't there anymore. Because you're not allowed to sell unpasteurized. So, for whatever reason.
Do you remember when we had cream from our cow?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, that's what she's trying to replicate.
Yeah, and I remember making butter. In ball jars or cur jars, I don't know. Did you have ball or cur?
Mason.
I have Mason, ball, and cur, I think.
You don't see Mason jars anymore. Do they even make them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have some.
Do we really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were all cur jars.
I like the jars that have the ball measurement.
Mason is the...
Oh, I call them ball. Ball Mason. Okay, cool. Yeah, we used to make butter. We'd put cream in a jar, a mason jar, and then we'd shake it until we'd get tired and pass it to the next person. We'd just sit around doing whatever we were doing, making butter. It was cool.
It was good.
Delicious. Yeah. And I want to do that. Trenton was telling me he did that in one of his classes.
Oh.
Yeah, one of the teachers said, hey, we can turn this into butter. And then the whole class took turns and they made butter. It's kind
of
cool.
You know, I got a hold of some milk. Not that long ago. And the top had thick yellow stuff on it. Mm-hmm. This is amazing how stupid I was. And I thought, oh, this milk is going bad.
Oh,
and,
no.
And I started pouring it down the sink. And after it was pretty much poured down the sink, I just thought, oh, that looks like. So I tasted it.
Uh-huh.
I could have made butter with that.
You could have. Where'd you get that?
At the food bank.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I can't believe you poured it down the sink.
I can't either.
You just didn't remember.
You're so disconnected from your roots.
I know.
Well, it happens.
I just haven't seen that for so many years.
Right. And you drink milk a lot.
Yeah.
Well, occasionally I consider getting a cow.
What?
Yeah, I've told you this many times.
I know, but there's no damn way we're getting a cow.
Well, we don't actually have room for a cow on our quarter acre, but I would like to. Just one cow, just one little milker, one little Betty Sue out in the back. A little bit of milk, a little bit of cream. It'd be awesome.
You might be able to buy some.
Mm-hmm. So the way it works here is you can be part owner of a cow. And if you own the cow, you don't have to pasteurize the milk, but you cannot sell unpasteurized milk. So you can, so there's farms that will lease.
They sell shares of the cow.
They sell shares of the cow. So you own the cow and then you can get a certain amount of milk, which I'm kind of into. I would love to do that. I could also just probably go to a farm and say, hey, can I buy a gallon of milk? They'd be like, sure.
That'd be much easier. And
buying a share
considering
of the
cow. How little milk we use.
Well, yeah, considering we don't use any.
Yeah.
But I just want the cream. But I don't know, maybe okay, I don't know if you remember this, Mom, but I hated milk. And so at school, they made you drink your carton of milk. That was part of the deal.
Yeah.
And you sent a note
to
the school.
They made you?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of fascist school did you go to?
I know, right? It's kind of weird that they could force you to do that, but they would make you drink your milk.
They can't do that anymore.
Yeah, so no Mom kidding. Wrote me a letter saying that I was allergic to milk. So that they wouldn't make me drink my milk. Because I just hated it. And she was like, no, you don't have to drink that crappy milk. If I was going to drink milk, it was going to be the milk from our cow. Not the crappy milk in those little cartons. But I appreciate that. I just want to say thank you for helping me out.
You're welcome.
Making it so I didn't have to drink that milk. That crappy milk.
You know what's funny with those cartons?
Mm.
It's like, when I was a kid, I could rip open those cartons, no problem.
Now you can't?
Now... Like, and not
now
even,
it takes a machete.
Not even like, oh, I'm an old man now. But it's like as soon as I hit like 20, like I just had like infinite difficulty splitting that thing open and then doing the thing that gives you the little spout.
Yeah, like they changed the material. They did something to it.
That's all I'm thinking is like maybe they changed the material because
I totally agree with that.
It was so much more rigid when I was a kid. You just peel it back and then boom.
Boom, it's open.
And now it collapses on itself.
Now it's like, and it falls apart. Yeah.
I've had that same difficulty.
So now I have to dig at it with my fingernail, which is wholly not sanitary.
Oh, yeah.
Especially considering my fingernails, right?
What's wrong with your fingernails?
And they're disgusting.
They're not disgusting.
Oh, well, it's amazing the disgusting stuff we can eat and get away with it.
Yeah, well, there's that.
So let's talk about Spotted Eagle, because I've been wanting to ask you about your memory of Spotted Eagle. How did we meet him? Okay, so for our listeners, Spotted Eagle was this fabulous, very tall Native American man. Named Spotted Eagle, who lived on our property in a teepee.
Yeah, I Dad brought everyone around.
He just brought home random strays.
He did.
Yeah. Spotted Eagle was kind of awesome.
Spotted Eagle was awesome. It was so fun having a teepee on our property.
Right?
The guy's got a little goofy, but...
A little goofy, you mean high?
High, climbing trees with loincloths on and sitting up in high trees for hours on end.
Yeah, they must have been smoking.
At least they didn't try to fly from those trees.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good point. I wouldn't have put it past him. Yeah, he was a really interesting character.
He was so tall. And he used to wear his hair in a man bun and jog down the highway. He got a lot of attention, I think.
In a loincloth.
Did he? In a loincloth?
That's what I
don't remember. Yeah, I think you're right.
He was wild. How long did he live there? I remember him being there in the winter and the summer.
Yeah, he got there in the summer and he stayed. I remember in November, it was really cold that year. And he was freezing out there.
Oh, I bet.
And then he left. I think it was too cold.
Like, I'm out. Going to Florida.
It was like below zero.
Right? Yeah, it was cold that winter. I remember him trying to dig out some cars that were stuck in the driveway. Like there was a whole bunch of guys with shovels trying to dig the cars out of the driveway.
And he was the only one in a loincloth.
You know, I remember a day when we had that long driveway and there was like 2 feet of snow. Mm-hmm. And someone pulled into the driveway and got a ways up the driveway and got stuck. So it was like a Saturday. And so here comes John and Cindy and pulls in. They get stuck. You had to have momentum to make it, right? And it, I think we ended up with 4 cars stuck in our driveway.
I remember that.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, why do they keep pulling in here and getting stuck?
See, I totally remember that, but I didn't know why there were so many. It was just people kept coming over and doing the same thing.
Yeah, they wanted to party with us that day.
In the middle of the snow. That's well, funny.
What else was there to do?
So that's what I remember. Spotted Eagle, Dad, like a whole bunch of men with shovels digging out tons of cars.
Yeah. I thought it was the most ridiculous day.
Woohoo! They're probably drinking beer and enjoying themselves, I would guess. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally remember that. I just remember it was ridiculous. We were all like, what is happening? Here comes another one. So who else were they? We weren't stuck in the driveway, though. We were up.
Right. I think John and Cindy, Wayne Wilkie. There was that guy who drove, what are the cars that always people laughed at him all the time? They're
Pintos?
Gremlins?
Yes.
We knew someone
guy
with a gremlin?
Gremlin, like a 400-pound guy who drove a gremlin.
Did he play guitar?
Yes.
I remember that guy. His name was Dave, I think.
And he sold silver.
Yes, I remember him.
Who else? I don't think Fred would have been foolish enough. He knew the snow.
No, Fred would never would have done that. And I don't think Cody and Poe would have either.
Probably not. But they
yeah,
could
but
have.
Anybody who bought a gremlin was certain to drive up that.
Exactly.
In fact, you could probably pick out, you know, you're like, oh, well, it drove a gremlin? Of course he drove into that. Oh, and here's the Pinto owner. Here's the, oh, an Ensel?
What's an Ensel?
It's an old POS car. Edsel.
I remember those Edsels.
Yeah, it's like...
Really?
Like every piece of crap car, it's like everyone who has poor judgment bought one of these vehicles and then probably got stuck in your driveway, is what I'm imagining.
Right. We should put a picture of an Ensel, whatever it's called, on the
And
website.
Then we had the fellow staying with us from Mexico.
Now, that was interesting.
Who had never seen snow, and we gave him a shovel, and he just did not know what to do with it. It's like, it was everywhere. Where do you want us to put it? So confused.
Manuel?
Yes.
That was his name.
He really didn't know. I mean, I get that, right?
Yeah.
It's like giving someone a shovel and putting him in a lake and say, shovel it. Like,
but where?
Oh, that's awesome. That's funny. He was there.
He was there in the winter.
Yeah.
The poor guy. I was making mac and cheese and homemade bread, and he was begging for salsa and lemon juice.
I remember he wanted lemons.
Yeah. That diet really didn't suit him.
Yeah.
But that's what we had.
Yeah, potato soup.
Yeah, white bread.
With milk and butter and
like absolutely zero spice, zero
No,
acidity.
We had jalapenos.
Oh, well.
We had jalapenos and Tabasco. That was our spice.
Yeah.
Well, Dad.
Yeah, that's not spice.
Salt and pepper.
Wait, so you didn't cook with a lot of spices? Because you made gumbo and jambalaya.
I put Tabasco in it.
Mm.
But it was delicious anyway.
It was delicious. Super delicious. So when Manuel's wife came to live with us, I love this story. His wife and his children finally came. And didn't Dad sneak him? He snuck Manuel out of Mexico.
Yes, he did.
I mean, straight up illegally brought him across the border.
Mm-hmm. Señor Esteban.
Señor Esteban.
The Gayote.
Sí. Simón. Yeah, so then somehow his wife and daughters, was it 2 daughters? I think it was 2 little girls.
I don't remember.
Because I remember Lily and I playing with them and not speaking the same language.
Right.
And then, but the best part is like you and the woman in the kitchen cooking together and laughing and talking to each other
In two languages?
Yes. Well, we use sign language. We managed.
Yeah. That's kind of cool. So, yeah, you would literally like have a conversation, but you were both speaking your native tongue and didn't understand the other.
Exactly.
But somehow communicated.
We did.
But did you both know sign language, or was it like an improvised sort of?
No, like pointing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pointing and grunting.
She knew a few words. She knew the months of the year because she told them all to me.
She was showing off, wasn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, that's more than I know in Spanish.
January? Yeah. February? Or is it February?
February.
March? Mm-hmm. That's funny. Well, I just think that's kind of cool how two people can commune together but not actually speak the language, but still, you know, in a kitchen you're in an environment where you get it, you get what's happening. But I remember you guys laughing.
Well, we had children, we were women.
Yeah,
things were funny.
You had children, we were women. Yeah.
The whole situation was kind of I don't know, ripe for comedy, I guess.
Right? How long did they live with us?
You know, I don't remember exactly. It was probably a month, month and a half.
Mm-hmm. And then didn't he open up a Mexican food restaurant in Newport?
Yes, he eventually did, and he was successful.
Which is awesome.
And they became legal.
That's cool.
The whole family.
Yeah.
So when
we were... Is that restaurant still there?
I don't know.
It is, but it's owned by someone else now.
Ah.
He probably is retired.
As far as I know, he opened up a restaurant in Spokane.
He did.
Not Newport.
Yeah, it was in Spokane.
Okay, so it wasn't the one in Newport that he opened. He opened the one in Spokane.
Yeah.
Wasn't it the Gringos?
No, that wasn't it. Don't know. I was never in there.
Trace Gringos? Because isn't there one of those in every city?
Oh my gosh, it might be Dos Gringos.
Dos Gringos.
Oh. Dos Gringos. But he's not a gringo, so that's not it.
That wasn't it.
Yeah. Yeah, but he did well, and I believe he's still in Spokane, which is cool. Yeah, Dad was always bringing home people. Randoms.
I was always happy to see them come.
Oh yeah, it was fun to have people. Why? Why were you happy?
Well, it just was a distraction.
Mm-hmm. From our mundane farm life.
Mm-hmm. Amongst other things.
Right.
He was always in a jovial mood when he had someone to talk at.
I like the phrasing there. Talk at.
Right.
Not talk to. Talk at.
It never really changed either.
Not so much a conversation as it is a monologue.
For sure. Yeah, but people found him fascinating. He was fascinating. It was very interesting.
He was fascinating,
fellow.
But I'd never go home with him.
Well, isn't that the truth? Yeah, that's got to make you wonder.
Sorry,
about
Rhonda,
people.
But
there were people who were just not impressed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like
my mom.
Oh, well, yeah.
True. Yeah, moms are never impressed.
That's true.
Was there anyone else?
Well, at certain times, when he started yelling at people for not celebrating the Sabbath, he made a few enemies. But before that, he pretty well got along with everyone. I mean, everyone he brought home, he got along with.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he definitely had his ups and downs, his moments where he was just charismatic.
Yes.
And jovial and interesting. And then he had his dark times. And I think that, you know, I mean, it wasn't his fault. I think he had a chemical imbalance.
Agreed.
He needed professional help. But he was a really amazing character. He was a pretty amazing person.
Yeah.
And men of that era were not prone to asking for help.
No, of course not. And I think he did pretty well, considering.
Yes, I do too.
He wasn't the greatest, but he wasn't the worst. Yeah.
Yeah, the good times were good.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad times were pretty bad.
Yeah, such is. So what else is happening? We're not getting any eggs from the little ladies, are we, Chad?
We are not.
They're in a molting stage.
For weeks now.
Has it been weeks?
How long does that molting take?
Yeah, dos semanas.
I don't know. I'm about to go down and help them along.
How are you going to do that?
I don't know. Tear all their feathers out?
Oh, the molting process. Molt?
I say give them coffee grounds.
Well, let's try it.
I'll try anything at this point.
We have some.
Yeah, we'll have to use the caffeinated kind.
Really?
Get them all spun.
So, caffeine. But you did that when we were kids. You gave the chickens coffee grounds.
Yeah. It didn't hurt them.
Do you think it helped them?
I don't know.
Do you think they actually ate them?
I think so. Just try a little. But it seems like we always had eggs.
Yeah, but we had a lot more chickens.
Yes.
Well, we'll give them some coffee grounds. We could also Google it and see what the Google says.
I feel like I've gone through life without paying attention. It's like, I don't know. I just don't remember. Huh, I should have taken notice. I know so much more now.
But right? Sometimes you just do things because way. You're like, oh, well, someone says that's what we do. So
right.
You know, I guess I'll do it too.
Well, like the oyster shells. I remember giving chickens oyster shells.
Right.
Our chickens are not interested. Zero interest in the oyster shells.
Have you seen the bottom of their cage lately?
Yeah, it's all oyster shells.
It's all oyster shells.
Yeah.
Like they're just not eating it.
They don't want them.
Then they must not need them?
Well, allegedly, right? That's what.
But their eggs are so weak, they break. Well, when we had eggs 2 weeks ago.
So I bet there's a supplement now that's a liquid that you can put in there.
Well, yeah. I went and asked about that. And I am going to just go ahead and order some. But the food we give them is layer pellets that's supposed to have everything they need. So we've switched from one brand to another, thinking that would help. But then they quit laying all together because they're molting. So we have no idea. Oh. But I wonder if maybe before they molt, their eggs get thinner and thinner and thinner as they're building up to molting.
I bet you're right.
So maybe after this hiatus, because they will start laying again.
Well, I hope so.
Well, I know they will because that's what has happened in the past.
Is it?
Yeah. That's what I was told by the
I'm itching for chicken stew.
Wow. You better back off there, buddy. You're going to have to go through me first. No, I think that when they start laying again, all that calcium is going to be...
Wait a minute. You know... If things happen when you leave for Pennsylvania, I can't.
Wow. Can you believe this?
I'm just saying.
No.
I don't believe it either. He's lying.
I've got the YouTube video history to prove you wrong.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just saying. Because I'm not going to like dunk the chicken in boiling hot water and then hand pluck.
Right. Thank you.
So... They've got this apparatus that's basically like a washing machine tumbler that you affix all these little rubber fingers to inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw...
What's your point?
The deceased chicken into it and defeathers it.
Yeah, that's a cool apparatus if we had a chicken farm.
Yeah, well...
But we don't.
We may. Just saying.
Have you been drinking? You are not going to take my chickens and put them in a stew. You can get a chicken at Costco for $5.99.
That is the one thing saving you, woman.
Yes, it is.
The $5.99? Cheap chickens at Costco.
Yeah.
They're only $4.99.
They're $4.99.
Oh, are they $4.99?
Yeah, they're $5.
That is definitely their loss later.
Yeah, that and the pizza out front.
So I was telling Chad, just like, I don't know, last night, the night before, I'm like, you know what Costco should do? They should have a specific window for their chickens so you can just go up, get your chicken, and leave. And then I was like, oh, wait. No, they want you to go inside and buy all that stuff.
That's it's weird. At the back of the store.
Yeah, they put it as far away from the front as they can.
They're like, you want this $4.99 chicken? You better come in and walk down all these aisles. Yeah, it's a lot.
You're going to have to walk past the clothes. You're going to have to walk past the books, generators, the books, the alcohol,
wine.
the cheese. You're not going to make it past the cheese without buying something.
Right. Antique seafood roshow.
Right.
We always joke around and call it the antique seafood roadshow, which is funny because antique seafood is probably the least desirable thing on the planet.
but seafood roadshow doesn't sound much better, right?
That's true.
That's what Costco calls it, is the Seafood Roadshow.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't have a Seafood Roadshow?
Not that I know of.
Oh, yeah, you do. I guarantee it.
I think you probably
okay,
do.
I'll pay attention.
But, like, you know,
it's Fridays and Saturdays, typically like once or twice a month. Oh. Our Costco now does it every week.
And then what they don't sell, they freeze.
Okay.
Or they package it up and put it in the...
I go Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock.
So, of course. Really?
Yes.
Right.
Well, I try not to go very often. I only drive into town, downtown, once a week. I try. But the thing is, on Sundays when I go, that's the day that Costco is slammed.
That's true. You never want to go to Costco on a Sunday.
Yeah. So
it's a bad idea.
If I have to go, I'll go on a Tuesday early, right when they open.
So do you remember the rainbow, what were they called? The Rainbow Clan? The Rainbow Gathering.
Vaguely.
There was this group of hippies that were like meeting up at one lake and they were all naked and the whole town was up in arms.
Yes, I remember that.
Good Lord, naked people.
What do you remember about it?
Just that everyone was upset about it. And I was kind of excited. I was like, ooh, sounds like we could have some fun.
And I remember you and Dad being like, let's go up there. Let's go meet them.
Yeah.
That's what I remembered. Yeah. That's funny.
We love the barter fair.
Oh, the barter fairs were awesome. You went to one of the first barter fairs, right?
We did.
How did you hear about it?
Dad.
Of course. He knew everyone. So tell us about the first barter fair.
It was fantastic. We pulled up all of our various vehicles, all these hippies, in a big circle in a beautiful place. And everyone got out their wares, and they were there to barter. Cash could be used.
Sure.
And it just felt, it felt fun. It felt safe.
Yeah, it was community.
It did deteriorate as the years went by.
As they always do.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember lots of interesting characters. And I have some photographs from the barter fair.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I'll have to show them to you. I wish I'd taken more. I took the photos.
Of course.
And I wish I'd taken pictures of us.
I know.
But it's just random characters that I met. There's a picture of Nev.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Gypsy.
And a picture of Gypsy. How'd you remember that? How'd you know that?
Because I kind of, we went a lot.
Yeah.
And Gypsy was kind of the lead guy.
Yeah. He was the blonde. So I'll show you the pictures. I might even put them on the podcast website so people can see what we're talking about. But yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was.
What did you trade? What was your ware?
Well, we purchased everything at a yard sale that had a lot of antiques. And I found out that I'm an excellent trader.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
I had a 12-string guitar, which I traded, I believe, for a canoe. I had a tablecloth that I got like $100 for. And this was a long time ago.
Right.
That was a lot of money for a tablecloth.
Right.
And I did really well. You got a brand new bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
For a poncho I had, a llama or alpaca.
Mm-hmm.
I did well. So then Kahlua, I started making homemade Kahlua. Totally illegal.
But delicious.
But delicious.
It was really good. I want to try and make it.
It's really easy.
Okay, so it's instant coffee.
Yes.
Vodka.
Yes.
Vanilla and sugar.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
There might be, I don't think so. I think that's it.
We can look it up.
Yeah, we can easily find a recipe.
And try and make it. But I just remember it being delicious. But it had to have been, it must have had quite a bit of caffeine having that instant coffee.
Oh, yes. One year I had a little too much.
Uh-huh.
And I was awake all night, but totally
awake
bombed.
And drunk.
Yes. And I got the shakes in the morning. I think it might have been all that caffeine. And I was like really tweaky.
So the key is to make it with decaf.
Yeah, I never even thought of that. Most of the time I didn't drink that much. Like I like to put it in a glass of ice milk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like a chocolatey drink almost.
Yeah, I bet. Delicious. I tasted it once. I remember one time I tasted it and I loved it, but it was a little too much for me.
It's like a...
I was a kid.
Like a Kahlua White Russian.
Yeah. Totally. It's exactly what it was.
I remember.
I'm sure there's already a name for it, but...
Right? Yeah.
I had bronchitis one year, and every time I'd lay down, I'd cough like crazy. So I got out the Kahlua and just drank it till I passed out.
Jesus.
I didn't get sick, though. I mean, I was sipping it, right?
Right.
And I was tired because I had bronchitis.
So
you
didn't have to drink a lot of it to pass out.
Yeah, and it worked.
Wow. And then you woke up and you didn't have bronchitis?
Oh, I think I still had it.
I was hoping we just found like some miracle.
I just didn't care at that point.
That's right.
Oh, man.
I did get some sleep anyway.
Well, that's good. So any other stories you want to share before we close tonight?
No, I just want to remind the listener to get some cornflakes, stock up, be ready.
That's right.
Get yourself a 55-gallon drum of water. You're going to need it.
Actually, I will say, when Chad first met me, I was very much into buying canned goods in bulk.
Good.
And I was always buying lots of canned goods and storing it in various cupboards. And I've stopped doing that.
Jeez.
You should start.
I still store water.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, especially in Southern California.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And then one of the other things I'd like to say is that Mom was planning for disasters when you were like, what, 5 or 6?
Yeah, I was a little child.
You had a bomb shelter?
I put together a bomb shelter. I believe I might have been 7.
To be fair, the kind of crap that you had to endure back then by the age of 7, all that duck and cover bullshit.
Yeah, it made Mom a survivalist.
It really did affect me.
But you were also in a major earthquake.
Well, Mom used to sit and read the government pamphlets, and we'd close our blinds so there was no lights in case there was incoming. They couldn't see the lights in our houses.
Oh, right.
And she used to read us those pamphlets.
Wow.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. And then we'd have drills at school. And one day they told us, go home. Run home as fast as you can when you hear the siren.
Weird.
Yeah. And I don't know what the kids did who lived a long ways. But I only lived like 10 blocks.
Right.
And I remember running home.
And the sidewalks were like buckling.
This was a drill for civil defense.
They made you run home?
Yes.
As a drill?
A civil defense drill.
That is awful.
And they also made us practice hiding under our desks. Like, that's going to save your butt in an atomic war.
Good God.
Get under the desk. You'll be fine.
I wonder if like there's a whole generation of like people who are just preparing for disasters.
Yes. Have you not seen YouTube? Good Lord.
Are they all your age?
I think the vast majority probably are.
A lot of them, but not all.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good idea to prepare for anything, especially living in Southern California. Like anything could happen to our water supply, electricity. I mean, there's things that can happen. I mean, as we know from Katrina.
Right.
You know, be prepared. And if you're not prepared, well...
Yeah, don't count on FEMA to come pull you out of it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But so, I mean, I don't discount it at all, but I just wonder if it wasn't something that was a generational.
It very well could be. Now that you mention that, I'll probably kind of take note.
Mm. Well, I'll be curious because you and I are on the tail end of that, right? We were still growing up through the Cold War.
True.
So, there's still holdovers of that.
Right.
So, yeah, I'd be curious what the next generation is. Like, they just, like, that's not even on the radar?
Yeah, at all.
Well, what's odd is
water comes out of a tap.
Now.
Electricity comes out of the socket.
FEMA now recommends that we have so much food and water.
Right, as they should. Like, I think it's a good idea. Why not?
If you have foster children. They insist that you have stored water and food now.
Nice. See? Okay.
Huh. It's not paranoia if they're actually out to get you.
That's right.
Who's out to get you?
I don't know.
Or they. They, well, you're out to get my chickens, apparently. You better back off.
They step out of line.
Little boo-boos.
I've got this little hat made of tin, and I'm getting you guys some, too. Just kidding.
It's made out of all the pop tops of all of your food.
I have a good story, and then we'll end.
What you got?
So a colleague of mine was teaching at a writer's conference, and after he was done, he was standing out in the hallway talking to another colleague of mine, and he said, "This is just a bunch of tinfoil hat wearing idiots, blah, 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 blah." It's going on, making fun of and, you know, defaming his previous audience. And one of the women, the organizers, walked out into the hall and said, "Your microphone's still on." He was out in the hallway just totally complaining about all the people and the microphones on. And it's just, oh, man, something that would happen to me.
Oh. That's funny.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, cool. Do you have any questions, Chad? Burning questions?
I got nothing.
It's really hot in here. I'm excited about leaving this room and not being hot anymore. Well, thanks, Mom. Thanks for coming in.
This was really fun.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the podcast.
This is my first podcast.
Nice. I have a feeling you'll do more podcasts. You should have your own podcast. You could have the prepper podcast, telling people how to prep, how to be safe. Tell them about your follies, things you've done wrong, so they don't have to go through that experience.
Well, I have plenty of those stories.
Those are good stories.
Man, don't we all?
Right?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, listener, go get yourself some cornflakes. Good night.
Good night.
Night-night.